How's it going? My name is Connor Gilson, and this is episode 24 of my podcast. And I've almost done a complete month of these. Yes, I haven't done it consistently. And I don't think that doing one every single night is something that I actually want to do. A big thing about my happiness, and it's funny because we're talking about happiness. A big thing about my happiness levels is when I don't want to do something, I don't do it. I don't ever want to take something that I enjoy and do it to the point that I don't enjoy it. And it's funny because I started this podcast with the intentions of, you know, just trying it out. Just putting myself out there, doing something new. And I liked it for a bit. And then I kind of like my motivation went away. And I didn't really want to do it as much, but now I find that a lot of the nights that I do record it, I get very, very excited about recording. I actually think about it all day. I get excited about coming home after work and, you know, doing my podcast. I really do enjoy it. It's actually a part of my happiness as far as my day-to-day life. Lights are way too bright in my house right now, so hey Google, dim lights to 10%.
Okay,
and there we go. God, if you guys don't have Philips Hue lights and a Google Assistant or Alexa, man, you are missing out. It's so much better than having to get up and shut off the lights, and I can dim them and change colors. Oh, it's so nice. Anyways, but yeah, so as far as the happiness kind of, I don't know, procedure or whatever, I don't know the procedures like, clinical. I don't like that word. Hopefully I think of a different word. I don't know. But I really, really liked talking about this. And it's kind of, we've drawn to the end. This is the last part, as you probably already know, because you'll see the final as the name of the actual episode. We've reached the final part. I have a few notes here that I kind of like write out my notes from certain things in a full giant thing at once, and then I break it into parts. And this part, I wasn't really all that ready for how short it was. When I got to this part, I was like, oh, okay, I only have a little bit to talk about. So part of this podcast is going to be unique. Part of it is going to be kind of note-based. And then I'm just going to kind of let loose at the end and talk about a few things that I haven't really, you know, whatever pops into my mind about happiness that I feel like I haven't covered. So it's a little bit, you know, note-based podcast, and then towards the end is going to be free form. So let's see how it goes. I literally don't know what the second half of this podcast is going to be like. So it will be an adventure. Let's go. But usually some of my best podcasts are the, you know, non-scripted, non-noted ones, so. So it's interesting because what I want to talk about tonight was how we can transfer emotions, whether it's happiness or pain or things like that, to other people very, very easily. And the way I want to state this is there's been my favorite word, studies. There's been studies of how when certain things happen or humans witness certain things, parts of their brain react. So for example, if a person is pricked with a needle, the neurons in the pain center of their brain will immediately light up, right? Which is no surprise because that's, you know, how our brains work. But what is a surprise, at least to me, is when that same person sees someone else receive a needle prick, the same set of neurons light up. Just as though that person themselves have been pricked by the needle. So it's interesting. So in other words, that person actually feels a hint of pain of a needle prick, even though he himself hasn't been touched. In fact, there's a lot of things like if males watch like YouTube videos of guys getting, you know, unfortunate accident of getting hit in the private area, that they will actually feel pain and be like, oof, that I could feel that. Like, things like that. And it's common. Because that the brain actually lights up certain things. In fact, a big part of the law of attraction is if you take a marathon runner and you have him run, not only will the parts of his brain fire, but also his muscles will fire as he's running. But if he then closes his eyes and gets hooked up to a brain scan and a muscle scan or whatever, and he is made to run the marathon, or if it's just a tiny little sprint or whatever, in his head, not only will the brain fire, but the muscles will also fire off as well as he imagines it, okay? So, and it's interesting because these studies have been replicated hundreds and hundreds of times, involving sensations that range from pain to fear, happiness to disgust, and the same thing as if you watch something happen, your brain lights up to it, okay? Even more so for people that are empaths. They have more of an in-tune kind of viewpoint of how that works. Yeah, I had to get a drink of water. My throat has been bothering me all day. And it's funny because if you take it even further, you take it even further to what our brains are capable of, there is a part of our brain that can read and identify an emotion in another person's face within 33 milliseconds. So let's pause there for a second. 33 milliseconds. When we're driving a car, okay? When we're driving a car and something pulls out in front of us or something happens, our reaction time is 3 seconds. Okay? That's the average reaction time. Heck, there are people that are a lot faster. A lot of people that either street race or drift or do certain things with cars have a much faster reaction time. But the average is 3 seconds. If somebody pulls out in front of us, our mind will take 3 seconds to react to what's happening. Which is interesting, because that's a snap thing happening, whereas our mind, when we're watching reactions on other humans' faces, it's 33 milliseconds. Millionths of a second. Okay? So, and that's something that's always happening. It's always happening. Our facial expressions changed by word, by sentence, by thought, like, you know, and our mind's constantly monitoring and reacting to that, which is exciting. I'm going to take this mic away from my ear while I drink again. All right. But that is insane to me that in a life or death situation, we have 3 seconds to react, whereas our face is, or our mind is constantly reacting to facial on someone else that we're talking to. 33 milliseconds, okay? And just as quickly, our minds prime us to feel the same way. People assess our mood of, or when we're around people, we assess the mood of the people that we're around, and then we act accordingly to it. In sales, they teach you to kind of mirror people on a slow delay. It's interesting, when you're teaching that mechanism or that thought process to mirror people, you literally have to fight against yourself to not mirror so quickly. Like somebody folds their arms, when you're first learning that technique, you immediately fold your arms. Like it's like a knee-jerk thing. And that's why, because within 33 milliseconds, your brain picks up on it. And your brain says, okay, do action. Okay, you've told me that you want me to notice these things, and you've told me to react to them, so let's do it now. That's what the brain does, okay? We, in fact, have to slow it down so people don't, so that another person's subconscious doesn't pick up that we're mirroring them or copying them. It's supposed to be on a delay. Somebody folds their arms like 5 to 6 seconds, maybe a minute later, you do the same, okay? It's a very common sales technique. And I will say that it can be used badly as a manipulation. I use it to build rapport. If I want to build rapport with somebody, then I do it. It's not to make them buy something, it's to show that we're all kind of on the same level, or that I understand what they're saying, things like that, or I'm comfortable, okay? So you gotta be careful of how you use it, okay? But 33 milliseconds that we can identify an emotion in another person's face. And that's average human being. People that have studied psychology and micro expressions and body language, much, much quicker. Much quicker. Okay? And it's interesting because if you look at, all these different things, it really brings us back to our mind, right? So it's funny because a lot of people think that when we smile, it's a product of happiness. We get happy and we smile, or we find something funny and we smile. And it's kind of the whole chicken before, or which one came first, the chicken or the egg thing, right? A lot of people, we all know that if we are happy or we're having fun or something's funny, we smile or laugh, correct? But what a lot of people don't know is that if you put that egg before the ch or that chicken before the egg, if you will, if you smile, that can change your mental state. So it's interesting. So smiling, for instance, will literally actually trick our brain into thinking that we're happy. And it's crazy. It's crazy about how detailed this really is, okay? You start, it's not just tricking the brain into thinking that you're happy, it literally starts the chemical pers like process in your mind, or in your brain, sorry, not mind, in your actual physical brain, okay? It starts producing neurochemicals that actually do make you happy. And it's literally the basis of the whole fake it till you make it saying, right? So if we smile, and if even if we're sad or upset or something's bothering us, if we force ourselves or make ourselves smile, it will literally trick our mind into producing the chemicals that normally make us smile. Isn't that interesting? And I think honestly, what it boils down to in simple layman's terms is if we want something bad enough, it will happen. If we want to be happy, if we really desire and want it, then we will be happy. And that's one of the things that I try to teach a lot of my friends, okay? Sometimes we get caught up and we get tangled up in the whole, like, what does this mean? And a lot of people do that with me because I teach a lot of people psychology, or my friends know I'm aware of psychology, and they'll watch me watch them or watch other people and be like, what does this mean? What are you doing? Are you analyzing me? Is this one of my favorite things that one of my friends that I was teaching psychology, when he was first learning it, he started to realize that a lot of people play games. And when he would interact with me, he would think that I was playing games. Because there's a lot of things that when you think you figured out a certain aspect of what I do, you realize that it's just kind of a, like the cape in front of the bull rather. Like you charge through it and realize you thought you had the advantage over it or over me, but you really didn't. And that's a big key of me teaching psychology, is to realize that everything is fluid and changes and moves. And when you think you're cornering something, you're not always cornering it. Sometimes they're cornering you. But my friend would say, be like, is this a game? It was so much. He would say that so much. Is this a game? Is this a game? Like, he would always say that to me. That I literally made the joke to me, him, and one of his friends that if he were to die before me, I would make sure that on his tombstone it would say, is this a game? And I was honestly serious about it because I found it so funny of how much he would say it. But that's the thing. when we're learning how to interact and learn how people interact with us, then we realize that a lot of the world is us being manipulated. Because that's what humans do well, all right? I won't lie and dance around the edge of that. Humans are manipulators. In fact, every single human, yes, you listening to this, manipulates other people. It happens. We can have morals that cut a line where we don't manipulate people as much, or we don't manipulate people at certain points, or things like that. But humans in general manipulate. The sooner you understand that principle, the sooner you will be successful. Humans manipulate. Now, when I teach psychology, when humans realize that everything around them is a manipulation, they get very, very upset and angry and sad, and then they start using psychology in a power aggressive way. I've nicknamed it the Cannon method, or the Cannon principle, where somebody is just like a loose cannon on a pirate ship, where it just fires off and just goes flying back, and it doesn't matter who causes or what damage it causes or who it knocks out or whatever. Okay. When we're learning psychology, when we're learning things like that, it's very easy for that stuff to get in the way of our happiness. So bringing it back to what I said, if you focus on being happy, you will get it. It will not run away from you. It will be very easy for you to obtain. You just got to put the time and effort into it. And it's funny because there's a lot of things that we can strive for and go for and be aggressive for. But the reality is this: if we aren't happy, then whatever we're doing is never going to fix that. You can make as much money as you want. You can get the most gorgeous woman. You can get the keyhole girl for you. Looks, personality, everybody likes her, everybody thinks she's hot, whatever. You can get that brand new sports car, you can get that really big house, you can be filthy rich, you could have bills come at you and they literally don't even faze you or bother you because you have so much money. But if you weren't happy before, you're not going to be happy. And I say this a lot in my podcast because it's honestly the truth. And there's a lot of things that if I'm going to say multiple times through multiple episodes of my podcast, it's because I want you to listen. I want you to pick up on it. Happiness is very, very, very easy, yet it eludes so many. If you are a guard of your own happiness, then nothing can touch it. View yourself as the secret service to the president, which is your happiness, okay? And if there's other people listening outside of the United States or whatever, sorry for that very American analogy, whatever. But that's what we should treat our happiness like. There should be nothing that interferes with our happiness. And there's some times where certain things happen to like the president. Like I watched a video, old video of President Bush getting like sandals thrown at him while he was at some keynote in Iran or something, or Iraq. I forget which one it was. But it took a while for a Secret Service to like get in the, like it was very slow for the Secret Service to like block the president from getting hit by other shoes. Like President Bush decided to duck mo the both shoes and very easily handled it himself, and then Secret Service kind of rushed in. But there's times where we won't notice it. We won't notice that our happiness is being eroded. But when we do, we have to protect it. We have to. Okay? And getting back to what I was talking about, how smiling, because it all goes for a full circle, smiling creates happiness in us. When we want something bad enough, even if something's going wrong, we have this method now inside our head, because I mentioned it, that just smile. Just smile. Think of something funny. Think of something enjoyable. Think of something in your life that you absolutely love and you're very thankful for. And then boom, there you go. Okay? Authentic positivity will always trump fake positivity. But there is massive evidence that changing your behavior first, even your facial expression or your posture, can dictate emotional change. There's so many studies on it. Okay? And that's how it is. Study time. I'm just going to read this out or read off most of this. Yale conducted a study where they assigned volunteers a group task and then secretly instructed one member of the group to be overly positive. He then videotaped the proceedings of what happened and tracked the emotions of each individual team member before the session and after the session. I can put emphasis and excitement in reading, but let's see if I can summarize this because this is a long one. Anyways, they tracked the emotions of each individual team member before and after the session and then assessed both individual and group performance on the task itself. The results stated that when a positive team member entered the meeting, that person's positive mood became instantly contagious, traveling around the room and infecting everybody around him. And then what was even more interesting was the positive mood improved each individual team member's performance as well as their ability to accomplish the task as a group. Okay? The teams where one person sparked positive emotion experienced less group conflict, more cooperation, and more importantly, greater overall performance on the task that they had been assigned. So that's all it takes. Just one positive member, one person using what I'm teaching you here to completely change the game and what's going on. Okay? That's all it takes. So if you're working at a job, you might not be the manager. You might not even be the manager. You might not even be a supervisor. You may not be the boss. If some of you listening to this podcast are still at 9-to-5 jobs, planning their way out. But start working on this. Be positive. Being positive can change your whole team, even if you are the lowest person. When I entered my last, normal 9-to-5 job, when I entered that store, my positivity literally tore through that department in that store and upbuilt people and helped people to move forward and be better versions of themselves. My positivity does that even when it's just in my personal life. That's what it's all about. That is what matters, okay? One person is all it takes. There's so much negativity in the world, but positivity is usually a lot better of a dynamic for other people to experience. And then that leads them to being happier. And there you go. And don't get me wrong, there's going to be certain people that are influencers or leaders that have more of a powerful effect on a group's emotional tone or level than others. But the more genuinely expressive a human being is, the more their mindsets and feelings spread. So if you're very, very expressive and you can be very, very expressive easily, start influencing other people to be positive, okay? And it's funny because I was looking through a bunch of things and I found this, and I hadn't even highlighted this in my notes. This was just something that I was looking through, like books and stuff like that. And I was looking through a certain book and I accidentally, my mind started drifting and I read past what I had highlighted when I read the book. And it said this. It's very interesting. Let's see if I can find it. I just lost my place. God darn it. You may have noticed that when you spend time with a close friend, you feel in tune with each other. This is because the neural activity in your brain's emotional center is actually mirroring his or hers, your friends, and vice versa. And soon you fall into sync, like two pianos playing the same song. When you walk down the hallway together, your arms and legs even swing in sync. You two are in rapport, the basis of positive social connection and a major conduit for spreading your happiness to other people. Isn't that crazy? If you watch that, when I first read this like years ago, I started watching, but like recently, I was driving down Mystic, Connecticut, which this time of year gets super, super busy. And I just consciously started noticing, even though I wasn't doing it on purpose, started noticing people walking, couples walking. And a lot of them, their legs, like they literally step and their arms swing in sync with each other. And it's crazy. I love when I see it, when I notice it. I don't always notice it because I'm driving around and I'm being busy and stuff like that. But when I do notice it, it's always interesting to me. And there's actually times where I've like pulled over and been like, you guys are actually like completely in sync. Like, of watching you walk and you're literally taking step for step. And you think that's a weird, creepy thing to yell to some stranger, but hey, life is short and you might as well live it. So, but I've actually had a few really good interactions of that and like getting to know about a couple and like how long they've been together, you know, things like that. And it's pretty interesting. But the closer a couple usually is, the more in sync they are when they walk down the street or together or things like that. Okay. So how do we perform, or how do we kind of transplant this into our business, right? Well, when we model our type of mindset and habits from other people's that have high performance or success, we're going to be instilling those very mindsets and habits not only in ourselves, but all the people that are around us that are like-minded. So our personal friends, our colleagues, our family, our loved ones, things like that, that's all going to be kind of categorized in. It's interesting because dropping it down to kind of rapport and how rapport helps us, you are, and there's the yawn. I should name my podcast The Yawn Diaries or something, I don't know. But anyways, rapport strengthens a lot between who we are, okay? When we lock eyes with somebody, we're proving that, you know, the old saying of always look people in the eye is actually sound advice, right? That's what we're teaching. Oop, just lost my place. Awesome. But yeah, that's what we're teaching. And hopefully I find it in the next couple minutes. But that's what we're teaching other people, that if we, you know, are actually doing that, if we're actually looking people in the eyes, we're not only transferring, you know, what we're thinking and things like that through that, we're actually building that rapport that I talked about like a couple seconds ago. But that's why when you see couples argue, they'll say like, look me in the eyes when I'm talking to you. Okay, right? Right? Yeah, it happens a lot, because that's how we build rapport. That's how we connect. That's how we understand. If a girl's or a guy is screaming at us and we don't look them in the eye, there's a disconnect. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like they care. If it's two random strangers, if somebody's looking down, it's a sign of weakness. They're not, you know, all 100% there. It's why when we have orgasms, they're much, much stronger when we look into a partner's eyes. There's literally techniques around that to help, like, to make couples much more intimate and close by doing things a lot slower and very kind of to the point, very specific but slow, and making eye contact like that, it helps do that. When we use eye contact, you know how we talked about mirror neurons, or about our neurons in our head, it literally tells our mirror neurons, two words that are very close to each other in sound almost, mirror neurons to fire. And when they do, the result is better performance, whether we're in a boardroom or in the bedroom. eye contact is going to tie into, like I said earlier, when we were talking about neurons, it's going to teach, or it's going to trigger those mirroring neurons, the ones that mirror people, to fire. And that's what's going to help us in our life. So that's pretty much all for the notes. Let's see what we got. We got 30 minutes, so not that bad, not that bad. But let's see. Let's see if I can just randomly think of something. It's funny because. And yawn number two. I probably make you guys exhausted hearing me yawn constantly. Anyways, but the interesting thing about happiness, we're in free form territory now. I don't know how this is gonna go. The interesting thing about happiness is that a lot of people do not protect it. They don't strive for it. They focus on success and goals and other things, but their happiness they let kind of fall by the wayside. They kind of run it over and leave it in a box on the side of the road. Happiness is what fuels us, because if you get to a certain level of happiness, no matter what happens to you, yes, there's going to be days where certain things happen to you and you're going to be like kind of out of it and not want to do anything or you feel wrong or things like that. But, yawn number three. Gosh darn it. I'm like literally like closing my eyes and almost falling asleep while I do this podcast. Which is funny because if you're listening to my voice, it does not sound like that's happening, but whatever. I completely lost my spot. I know I was talking about how happiness, people don't protect it. Yep, don't remember. But kind of branching off that, and hopefully it comes back into my mind. A lot of people don't strive for happiness. They don't strive for what matters. They go years and years and years trying to get for goals that they know is going to make them feel better. Like, oh, I can finally buy that car I want. I can buy that car. I can buy a house. I can pay all the bills that I need to. I can pay off my debt. All that stuff like that. It's all very important to them. But if you aren't happy before that, then when you make all that money, you're not going to be happy after that. So that's something that I think every business owner, every even employee should learn to do. Be happy without letting anything get in the way or affect you being happy. It's simple as that. If you protect your happiness, like it's something that you cherish a lot, then that's what's going to bring, it's literally going to bring everything else in your world into your life, all your goals, things like that. Because if you're not happy, and that, trust me, there's people that aren't happy that think they're going to like be happy when they win money, and they do win money, or they get, a crazy business, or they win the lottery, and they're happy for a couple of weeks, and then they need to buy something. Oh my God. And then they need to buy something and they're not happy anymore, but then they buy it and they're happy and things like that, okay? Things like that happen all the time. But if you're not willing to protect that happiness, if you're not willing to, do everything you can to get that happiness, then you're never going to get to a point where you're successful and happy. It's just not going to happen. People that are rich eventually wears off. Like I said in one podcast, the number of people, and I don't remember the statistic right off my head, but the number of people that win the lottery and are excited that actually last past a couple of weeks before things start going back to normal, and they're just like, eh. Even if they save the money, their mind's going to establish their balance. So make your balance your happiness. Make sure that sometimes you're going to have rough days where you're like, wow, I don't want to do something. I don't want to, I just want to go lay in bed, whatever, right? It happens. But if you're not willing to embrace your happiness advantage or happiness side, then you're going to lose out because you're going to spend a lot of time going against stuff that you can't fight or you can't change. And instead of having something happening to you and then having the perception, because once again, like I said, our brain is the gate to anything. We can't have an exception unless we let it through our brain. Somebody can do something really awful to us, but if we don't let it get through or we think about the positives, then that's going to help us get through it, right? So that's what happiness pretty much means for me. Happiness, in short, means that no matter what happens, I will always be happy. I can be broke. I can be living out of the back of a car. I can be rich as like crazy rich and go to Six Flags for like 4 days and not give a crap. I can do all this stuff. But if my happiness is not there, then I lose. And a lot of people should have that viewpoint. We should be striving to be happy. And a lot of you, or a lot of people, are younger people that are still in college or just graduated college and they don't know what they're doing. Learn. Find things. Go find restaurants in other states that are really high-end and go there. Go do tourist attractions. Go to Six Flags, you know. Go do what you need to do in order to get through your life and your happiness and things like that. Don't let things get in the way or distract you from being happy. If your job is making you happy, that's good. But if it gets to the point where it's not making you happy, try to take a break or try to do something to kind of like reset the scene. But if it's still not making you happy after that, leave, quit. Do what you need to do. Like I said, go to Six Flags. Go to Disney World. Disneyland, whatever it is. I think there's two of them. I don't know. You know, go jump out of a plane. Go do something that brings happiness to you. Because, yeah, money is fun, but a lot of people destroy their happiness levels trying to be successful and trying to make money. And that's sad. That's a shame. We should protect happiness at all costs. Because that's, if we're going to run a business, that's what's going to get us through it. It really is. Well, that's about it, guys. I am literally actually starting to fall asleep, so I have to stop. 36 minutes, not the longest podcast I've ever done, but not the shortest either. Nice midpoint. And I think that's pretty much good. And that is pretty much it for the happiness module. It's been fun, and now I got to figure out what I'm going to do next. But I always do, so it will happen. Anyhow, I will talk to you guys later. Once again, my name is Connor Gilson, and this has been episode 24, and I'll see you later.